Message, and as Pastor David mentioned this morning, it really does feel like the year 2025 has come in to a close very fast. I mean, it feels just like yesterday it was Thanksgiving, and now it's 4 days before Christmas, if you may believe it. So if you need to do any last-minute Christmas shopping, that's your warning. You have 4 days left. And for us to, I guess, posture our heart into this new season that we're entering, I want us to see the beautiful things the Lord is doing in our lives, primarily the grace that he has given us through the birth of Jesus Christ, and how we can react to that grace, how we can react to that gift the Lord has given to us. And the message, the title of my message today is Gratefulness, Transitioning for Christmas. And I put the word transitioning for Christmas because gratefulness, we know it as a thing maybe primarily that we do on Thanksgiving, but it's a beautiful thing that we can bring with us out of Thanksgiving into this Christmas season, this gratefulness. And we know that this, the ultimate grace that has been given to us is ultimately the birth of Jesus Christ in a manger 2,000 years ago. In Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God." And I want, in this message that I'm going to be giving this morning, for us to focus on that last sentence where it says, we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. And I believe we truly do live in an evil world where they remove Christ from Christmas, where it's easier ever now to sin, and actually sin is encouraged in today's world. But we as Christians, we have a role to combat this evilness as being light and salt in this world, preserving it for when Christ comes, that when Christ comes in glory, he will see that there are righteous people still here that love the Lord. And we are here trying to win souls for the kingdom of God, and we can reflect this light to other people. And so the way we do this is by doing things that are wise, righteous, and showing devotion to God. And that is my first point today, gratefulness, a correct response to God's grace. And every day, in all the moments, we are given the opportunity to react to God's grace. It is up to us to react appropriately. And I believe the appropriate response to that is gratefulness. As we've seen, the ultimate grace that was given to us is Christ being born. But there are other things that has been revealed to us that shows God's grace, either things seen or unseen. And when I mean seen, things in nature. And I believe things in nature are primarily there to show how powerful, how good God is. I mean, I look at nature and I see lightning, how beautiful, how powerful, how bright it is. And I'm like, the only reason for lightning to exist is to show how powerful God is. The psalmists use it all the time to dictate how powerful God is. Or when you see the universes and how there are universes billions of miles away, light miles away, what purpose do they serve? Only to show the power and the glory of God. Or we see God's grace revealed to us in things unseen, such as the relationships that we have with our parents, with our siblings, with our friends and family. These things are a grace to God because not everyone has that, and we must cherish and respect what God has given to us. But we also see God's grace is revealed to us in the things that have happened and have not happened. Things that have happened show God's grace because the only reason you were able to graduate school, the only reason you were able to get a job was because the Lord has blessed you in doing so. The only reason that you have health in your bones, you have health in your feet to come here in church this morning is only because the Lord has given you grace to do so. It is not by our free doing. Or we see God's grace in things that have not happened. It is by God's grace that we have not gotten into an accident coming to church tonight. It is only by God's grace that we do not have terminal illness in us. It is only by God's grace that he has protected us thus far. And if we are someone with illness, we come before God's throne and we say there is healing and there is victory over this illness. And we can show God this gratitude by the way we go into prayer. It's a beautiful thing that we do when we pray and we thank God for all that he has. It's very beautiful because I believe you take from it what you give. And I believe it's a one-to-one ratio where the more genuine you are in your gratitude, the more genuine you are in the way you thank God, the more you respect God. And by respecting God more, you start to see him a little bit differently. And at the bottom line, we have to understand as Christians that gratitude is God's will and standard for our lives as Christians. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, it says, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And we look at this sentence where it is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It is the standard because that is what God has called for us to do. God is not trying to hide his will from us, but he wants to reveal it through these graces that we've seen, through the birth of Jesus Christ, through things that have happened, through material possession. God wants to reveal the grace that is there. He doesn't want to hide it from us. Many times we think we don't see God. God is nowhere to be seen. But in fact, he's seen all over the place. He's seen in you having health, you having air in your lungs, you having two hands to praise the Lord, you having two feet to drive here today. And when we acknowledge this grace that God has given to us, we will see, brothers and sisters, that's a one-to-one ratio. That the more that we thank God, the more we'll take out of it. And the more life the Lord wants to give us. If we need more peace, if we want more joy, if we want more freedom, I believe it starts by turning to God, thanking God, for we'll see much fruit in our lives. Some things that we can see by thanking God is that gratefulness, first of all, pleases God. It says in Psalms chapter 69, verse 30 to 31, Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and hooves. We see that gratefulness also walk in spiritual wisdom. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." And I think that last verse really emphasizes this idea that gratefulness lets us grow and learn about who God is and what he wants us to be doing in our lives. And to help us understand where all these blessings come from, because all these blessings come from somewhere. So the last thing I believe gratefulness does is it helps us understand where they come from. It says James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. "So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Let me take a little sip of water. And I'm not sure about you, brothers and sisters, but when I know where blessings come from, I would want to walk in that direction. If I understood where all these good things come from above, the breath in our lungs, the feet to have here, the things that have happened to us, the things that have not happened to us, that would make me want to come to Christ more. Towards praying, towards reading the word, towards fasting, towards having fellowship with God, with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because everything that has been good in my life, you can name a million things that have been good in your life, every single one of those things have come from the Lord. There is no deviation. It has all come from the Lord. And if all things go to him that are good, let us go more towards him. But with this logic that I present to you, we also see the contrary, where all the evil things that have happened to us is because of the devil. It is because the devil has come into this world trying to scheme us, trying to trick us, especially us as Christians nowadays. And I'm not sure about you, but if I know where all bad things come from, I want to walk away from that, right? if we know where all curses come from, we want to walk away from that. The devil uses drinking, cigarettes, drugs, sexual immorality, and crude humor to do his will. The devil's will and not God's will. And so I'm not sure about you, but I want more good things in my life. I don't want evil things in my life. I want to walk away from the curses. I want to walk towards the blessing God has for me. And I believe how we do that today is we go towards thanking God by understanding where all these blessings come from. And ultimately, they do come from God. And if we go back to the verse in Thessalonians where it says, never stop praying, thank God in all circumstances. I really think that can be a really good spiritual check for where we are today. If we know that the ideal way to thank God is 100% of the time, where do we fall on that spectrum? Where someone who's walking the world thanks God none of the times, those that are walking completely in God's will are thanking God 100% of the times, where are we falling in that spectrum? 50% of the times, 75% of the times, 80%? I believe that's a good metric to see where you are in your spiritual health. Are you thanking God under all circumstances? And I believe we all can improve that. And as we thank God more and more, 80, 85, 90, 95, we start seeing more fruit. We start seeing God working more in our lives because you're acknowledging where these good things come from. God is pleased by it. And we're walking in God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. And so the first point of my message was gratitude, the correct response to God's grace. But there is a wrong response to God's grace, which I believe hinders us from reaching that 100% point that we've mentioned, that I mentioned before. And that's because of arrogance. A bad response to God's grace. And whatever word you want to use there, I chose the word arrogance because it's kind of like an umbrella word used for many different terms. You can say prideful, a bad response to God's grace. Worldliness, ungratefulness, because these things make you think you deserve better, thinking that they aren't good enough for what you deserved. You're not happy for what was provided to you. But we may wonder why we go towards arrogance rather than gratefulness. And ultimately, as we said, it is because of the devil, brothers and sisters. And the devil is very clever. The devil has been here ever since the creation of man. He's been up in heaven with God. And he knows all the tactics to trip humans, whether it be pridefulness, worldliness, ungratefulness. The devil is a very clever being. But there is no weapon that can stand before the fortress of the Lord. And that is the simple truth today. The devil may come into our lives with pridefulness, with worldliness, with ungratefulness. And sometimes it may seem that it's very effective. But when we turn to God in gratitude, there is no weapon that can stand before the fortress of the Lord. And that fortress lives inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to thank God more often because it grows that spiritual man and it kills that fleshly man inside of us. That fleshly man wants to act in pride. That fleshly man wants to act in worldliness. But when we thank God, we kill that man and we grow the spiritual man inside of us. We make the Holy Spirit more sensitive inside of us and we see more fruit. And all of us have a struggle, a certain sin that hinders us from thanking God. And I believe a great way we can kill that fleshly man is by identifying it and removing it from our lives. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. I think it's really beautiful. It says, strip off every weight that slows us down. And I think that's what we need to do, especially in this Christmas season where we see God's grace so abundantly clear through the birth of Jesus Christ, through blessing us in financial means if we're buying presents, by blessing us with health in our body. These are all grace from God, and we need to acknowledge it, especially this Christmas season. There are so many people less fortunate than us, and we just need to acknowledge that God is a very good God, that every single good thing that has come to us is because God has given it to us. And like I said, I just want us to walk towards God. I don't want us to walk towards worldliness. And I want to see more life in my body. I want to see more life in my life. I mean, Christ was crucified, and when he was pierced, two things came out of him, blood and water. And we know the blood cleanses us of our sins. But I asked church, how much life do you want? And that's what the water represents on the cross, that when he was pierced on his side, water came out of him, and water brings life. And he promises to give us life. And I want all of us at Emmanuel Church, I want all of us at all the churches all around the world to have more life. I want to see more gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to see people with more joy. I want to see people with more peace. I want to see people evangelizing more. I want to see us loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want us being lights in our workplaces, being salt in the world, preserving it for when Christ comes, he can say to more people, my good and faithful servants. I think this pride, this selfishness, this worldliness really just kills us. It prevents us from going 100% to God. This percentage that I mentioned, if you're 50% of the time thanking God, I want us to be more. Because I know that when we thank God, we will see more fruit in our lives. We will see more life in our bodies. And the way we talk, the way that we think, and God will come to a more healthier church. He'll come to a more healthier nation. He'll come to a more healthier workplace. Healthy, not in the sense of, I mean, physical health, but spiritual health. I want God to come and see a workplace is all changed to thank God, to praise God. I want people to come. I want God to come into churches and not most of the people to be saved in this church. I want God to come and everyone in this church be saved today. And I think that's how we do it, by thanking God and putting to death these acts of pridefulness, of worldliness. And I'll give you an example. This is an example I shared with the youth, but I thought it'd be a pretty good one to share also at church. So a coworker of mine is applying to the job that, a school friend of mine is applying to a job that I am working at currently. And it's very interesting because that week I was talking to Samantha and I was saying, man, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm getting underpaid. I feel like they work me kind of hard. I feel like I'm not being respected. I feel like I was just grumbling to the Lord a little bit, and to Samantha and to my family. I was just like, man, it feels like I'm not that thankful. I'm not that, it's all right, but it's not the best. And it was funny because the friend of mine from school called me because he's interviewing for the job. And he's like, hey, Danny, I'm applying and I got an interview. What do you think about the job? And it's so funny how my reaction changed instantly from being arrogant, from being prideful, to being like, I get 35 days of PTO, I get a hybrid schedule, I get dental, I get all these benefits, I get healthy snacks in the office, I get to work from home, it's very close to home, and it just, everything changes, where I realized that this thing I was bashing on, I was hating on, was actually me being prideful. Me thinking I deserve better, me thinking I deserve to make more. But in reality, it's a very big blessing the Lord has placed into my life. And in this Christmas season, I'm not sure where you stand in your faith. I'm not sure how you stand with thanking God, but we can all do a better job of thanking God. It's a simple truth. We can all work towards that 100% marker that we set as a standard, not as a minimum, well, not as a maximum, but as a minimum for the religious faith, for the Christian faith, that we need to be at that 100% marker. And as we do that, as we approach closer and closer, we will see more faith, we will see more joy, we will walk more in God's will. And so I pray that for Emmanuel Church, that we kill that fleshly man and we bring up that spiritual man inside of us, that we will see more works, that we will see more wisdom, that we will see more guidance as we enter into this 2026 year. And may God bless you all, and may he guide us in all of our doings. Amen.